number 10 in the series of the Kaleidoscope of Prayer. And I still got a few more in me about prayer, things that I'm learning, things that I've learned to make your prayer life go to the next level. You know, think about television. It used to be just black and white. It used to be just three channels. And then it became in color. And then it became cable television. And, of course, now it's high definition and even ultra high definition. And not just cable TV, but you can stream the channels you want and pay for what you want. And prayer, you know, is better than a television. Amen. Our prayer life, as we get older and more grounded, ought to be more mature, more powerful, more meaningful, more precious, more dear, as we get to know the Lord better. And there are different avenues and different ways of prayer. And prayer is an initiation. In other words, God initiates the desire for us to pray. He actually calls to us. Deep calleth unto deep. And prayer is an initiation. God prompts us to pray. Prayer is an invitation. Not only does God prompt us to pray, but he wants us to pray. It's his invitation. An invitation is something personal and something privileged. And not only is prayer an initiation, an invitation, it's an inspiration. Not only does God prompt us to pray, not only does God want us to pray, but God changes us as we pray. And so I've given you some ideas, some thoughts, some ways to deepen your prayer life. I've talked to you about keeping a prayer journal. I prayed yesterday and had my app out and was praying and logging in my journal. I talked about the two-way conversation, how God wants to speak to us. Times of silence. Did you know that you could sit in silence and not say anything and be in prayer? A lot of Pentecostals are afraid of silence. Amen. If there's not noise going on, then they don't think anything's going on. But God sometimes wants us to be still and know that he is God. And silence, because God wants to speak to us. We've talked about different postures, you know, kneeling in prayer, standing in prayer, walking in prayer. We've talked about things to pray for every day. Every day you ought to pray to avoid sin. Yes, I know the pastor said it real well Sunday. He said, nobody has halos. I like that. That's exactly what I was trying to say. But we need to pray to avoid sin every day. We need to put a watch over our mouth. Wisdom and guidance, we should pray for that every day. We should pray for others to be saved. Have you prayed today for others to be saved? We need to pray to be a blessing to someone, and we need to pray for our leaders. Yes, I called out Joe Biden's name in prayer, in my prayers this day. And so we should pray and ask God to help us in our prayers. And so tonight I want to talk to you, and I want to answer the question, what's the best time to pray? Now go to Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3. I should have had you to go there while I was introducing this, but Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3 is one of the most powerful scriptures on prayer that's found in the entirety of the Word of God. Now, it says, and if you're there, say amen. Everybody read it out loud. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Call upon me. If we don't call upon him, then we won't get an answer. And we won't see great and mighty things. I need to see great and mighty things, which the phrase thou knowest not basically is a King James version of say, which will blow your mind. Amen. That you can't believe all that God wants to do when we talk to him in prayer. Father, let us remind us of the words of the hymn writer, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. Oh, what a needless burden we carry because we don't go to you in prayer. And Father, help us to call upon you tonight. Help us to find the right time to call upon you. And you will do great and mighty things which will blow our minds. And we need that. We appeal to that. And we expect that. Anoint your servant to speak tonight. And we'll give you the praise. And everybody said amen. And turn around and tell somebody you're in the right place tonight. So, timing is everything. If you haven't If your wife comes home from work and the dishes are stacked up and the trash hasn't been taken out and you've been sitting home all day watching TV, that's probably not a good time to go over there and kiss and say how much I love you. Timing is everything. But now, if you go to a nice restaurant and there's the candles that are flickering and it's Valentine's Day, and you reach out and hold her hand and say, sweetie, I love you, that's the right timing. Amen? Timing is everything. If you've got a problem in the church and it's Sunday morning at 10:25 and the pastor walks out with his men and they've just had prayer and you're quite upset and you need to let the pastor know that you're upset, and it's 10:26 and he's headed to the platform, it is not the best time to say, pastor, I have a complaint. Tell your neighbor timing is everything. So what is, if prayer is so important, what is the best time to pray? And I'm going to give you three things tonight. Point number one, obviously, we know that the best time to pray really is anytime. Anytime. Amen? Anytime is the best time to pray. We're on point one, sweetie. All right, thank you. All right. Right now, you're jumping ahead of me. Amen. You're getting excited about this. All right. But what's the best time to pray? Now, I will give you some exceptions. There may be some times when it's actually wrong to pray. Now, that might be a whole nother sermon. But there are actually times when it's wrong to pray. What do you mean? If there's a duty to perform, you're not to keep praying about it, but you're to do it. Should I be a witness? We ought to pray about being a witness. But when it comes down to being a witness, we need to quit praying and start witnessing. Amen? What about tithing? Oh, should I tithe? Should I tithe? And if God has given you increase, you don't need to pray and say, God, should I tithe? That's a time not to pray. It's a time to act on your prayers and give. What about obedience? If it, you know, there's a form of hypocrisy in prayer, and there's a lot of people that smother disobedience in prayer. They think because they pray, you know, you ask the average person on the street, are you a good person? Yeah. How do you know you're a good person? Well, I pray. But they really haven't obeyed God. Look at Mark chapter 12, verse 38 through 40. And he said unto them in his doctrine, beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing, love salutations in the marketplaces and the chief seats in the synagogues and the utmost rooms of the feast, which devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. These shall receive the, look at that, the greater damnation. These were men of prayer. If you heard one of those rabbis pray, you probably would be impressed at the eloquence and at the and of the speech and of the verbiage that they would say in their prayers. But their prayers were covering up disobedience. Their prayers were covering up things that they should have been doing and things they should not be doing. So there are times when prayer is wrong. If the church is on fire, I mean literally on fire, if a fire breaks out in the girls' ministry's room, it is not a time to come to the altar and kneel and sit and bow our heads before God. It's time to get the water hose. Amen. So there are times when it's not appropriate to pray, when God is expecting us to do something. I could tell my wife, I love you, I love you, I love you. Wash the dishes, take the trash out, help me with the household duties. So sometimes you got to put words into action, not just hearing the word, but doing the word. Faith without works is. So let's understand that there are some times when prayer is wrong. Not only should we pray anytime, but look at 1 John chapter 5 and 16. There's a time to pray when there's not to pray when it's a sin involved. I've just about got ahead of myself. If there's a sin involved, people say, well, I'm having trouble in my marriage, and I'm just praying God will send me another spouse. Or I met this woman on the job, and I know I married the wrong person. And so I'm praying that God will bless our relationship. You're in rank sin. Okay, how much you pray? You see, the Bible says, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for the sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that you should pray for it. When the scripture plainly says that you can, thou shalt not, that means you're not going to pray about it. You might feel like taking something that doesn't belong to you. Well, Lord, I'm really hungry and I need this food. But if you're stealing it, there is a sin in stealing it. Now, people will give you a break if you're really, truly hungry. Now, don't get me wrong on that. There is mercy in that. But there are times when we're not to pray, and that is when we're to obey, when we're to work, and we should never pray about things that are sinful that we want to do. If God says no, then that's the end of the matter. Don't ask God, oh, God, will you please let my wife divorce me or something. That's crazy praying. Now, you'd be surprised, and I've been a pastor 20 years, and I promise you, I've seen that in the church. I have seen that in the church. Look at the preachers that have fallen. And it don't start out with hardcore stuff. It starts out with little innuendos, and sin creeps in. And so we don't need to pray about certain things. The Bible says in Psalm 66 and 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, if I've got unforgiveness in my heart, if there's somebody I haven't forgiven, somebody that I'm harboring, the Bible says quit praying and go and make it right. Amen. The Bible says that we are to pray and not to regard iniquity. Now, you know this scripture, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That scripture always bothered me because every time I'd go to pray, I'd always think about my failures and my weaknesses. And I'd be like, oh, God, I'm a failure. And, oh, God, you know, I've got weaknesses. And I've had struggles and this, that, and the other. And David Jeremiah said one time, it didn't say that if I had iniquity in my heart. Because there's all of us that have struggled with sin. Every last one of us. Nobody has halos. It didn't say if I had iniquity in my heart. But if I regarded it. I don't love sin. I hate sin. I hate those things that God has said not to do. I hate about the psalmist said, every evil way. And though at times I may get angry, and at times I may step over the line and actually get angry in the sense of sinning and doing something wrong, yet I don't regard anger in my life. I don't want it in my life, and I will quickly repent and make it right. So please understand that God is inviting us to pray. And if you will, you got to get on praying terms with God. Amen. You got to come the way he says come. You've got to make sure that you're not disobeying or allowing sin in your life. Now, what time is it a good time to pray? Anytime. Isn't that great? Amen. I said, isn't that great? God is on call 24/7. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in what? The time of need. Let us come how? To where? The throne. Just stop right there and just say the throne. There's a king sitting on that throne. And we are to come boldly. He is inviting us, call unto me that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Robert Murray McShane, a great preacher of the 1800s, said this, if I could hear Christ praying for me in the next room, I would not fear a million enemies. Yet distance makes no difference. He is praying for me. 1 Chronicles 16 and 11 says, seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face continually. So when is the time to pray? Anytime. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17 says, pray without ceasing. Psalms 124 and 4, behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. So, please know that when it comes to prayer, he hears our prayer 24/7. Doesn't matter where you are, how you are, who you are, where you are, this minute, this moment, at all times, God is there. Deuteronomy 4 and 7, for what nation is there so great? Who is God so nigh to them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon for him. We got we're part of a holy nation, amen, and a peculiar people. And we have a God that is near to us and numbers the hair on our head, cares about us intimately, passionately, affectionately, personally, and eternally. Oh, blessed be the name of God. So, 5 o'clock in the morning, you wake up. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, you know the day I'm about to face, and I need your help. You're driving on Ward Boulevard, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Oh, God, I call upon you because I love you and I need you. And I pray for a sister so-and-so, and I ask you to touch their family. You're in the car, you're on the highway, but you're talking, you're before the throne of God. You're in the operating room. Nobody's there. You're about to be taken into surgery. Oh, Father, thank you for your presence, and thank you that you're the great physician and that you hear my prayers. Amen. You're standing in the parking lot, and there's an old friend of yours that you haven't seen in a long time. And you know that old friend of yours doesn't know the Lord. And so I hope while you're talking to them, you're not saying, Lord, I hope he hurries up because I got to take care of my bills. You know, I got to go take care of my bit. No, what we should be praying is while he's talking, Lord, help me to find a way to invite him to church. Amen. God is literally on call. Now, I didn't say he was on your beck and call. Like, oh, God, like a genie in the bottle, God. No, no, he's not that type. We're not talking about that. No, but we're talking about literally an amazing, awesome God that can hear. He hears your prayers right here, right now. You do not have to come to an altar. I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. You don't have to drive to a church. You don't have to call the pastor. You don't have to watch Trinity Broadcasting Network. He is there. Psalm 139 tells us, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, you have searched me and have known me. And you know my down sitting and my uprising. By the way, I just want to stop right there and tell you, somebody needs to hear that God knows your down times, but he also knows your up times. And that tells me I may be down, but I'm headed up. Amen. Praise God. He didn't say he just knows my down sitting. Praise God. He knows my uprising. Westmoreland Church is about to rise up. Amen. And we're about to rise up because he's a God that's answering prayer. And he says, you know my down sitting, my uprising. You understand my thought. You can think a prayer. Isn't there a scripture that says before you even ask, he knows what you're going to ask? Before the need, God is already there. You can't get ahead of God. He's already there. You compassed my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all of my ways. There's not a word, hallelujah, in my tongue. But Lord, you know it all. You know it all together. Can we just lift our hands and thank God that we serve an awesome prayer answering God that we can pray 24/7, 911, in the emergency, in the prison house, in the church house, in the White House. God hears prayer, and we should pray anytime, all the time, and be in a spirit, as the pastor said, and in an attitude. I'm already in an attitude of prayer. I am a man of prayer. I don't say that boastfully. Amen. Preach it, brother. I am a man of prayer, and I don't mean that boastfully because I know my own shortcomings, but I believe prayer. I just look at my life I don't say this boastfully. I just look in the last 5 years of my life, and I can tell you that I told my wife, I said, now look, you know, XYZ has happened. And I don't know what the future holds, but I tell you what I can do. I can pray. And we can pray our way out of this. Hallelujah. And I tell you what, God has brought restoration in her life in so many ways. And there's just times you don't know what to do. Listen, when you're flat on your back, that means you've got one direction to look. And that's to look up. Amen. You got COVID-19, pray. Amen. You got the flu, pray. You get a bad doctor's report, pray. You get a good doctor's report, pray. Amen. Whatever, however, forever. That's good. That'll preach. We need to understand the power of prayer and pray all the time, being a spirit of prayer. I pray on my job. When somebody comes and I'm in sales or I'm in customer service and a customer comes to me, and one of the things I pray for is, Lord, help me to meet needs of the customers coming in. Sometimes customers will come in and they're I try to put myself in their shoes. You know, we're talking technology, people. Not everybody knows technology. Come on now. Some people don't even know how to work a toaster. You just press it down and it pops up automatically. Okay, that's about as much technology some people are. And most people don't have the patience. And I say, God, help me, Lord. I do. And when a customer comes in and they've been mad and that, something didn't go right or somebody didn't fulfill their promise, I'm praying. I'm like, Lord, help me to defuse the situation. And I'll tell you something. If you'll go to your employer with and be an employee that knows how to stay in touch with God, I'll tell you, you'll have job security. Amen. You have job security because God can give you wisdom. He can give you help even in the time of need. Somebody just say amen. So we know the obvious answer. Yes, we can pray anytime. But point two, what's the best time to pray? Not only any time, but appointed times. Are we there? Appointed times. Now, what do we mean by that? So this is like, the sun is shining, and it's generally shining, but if you take a magnifying glass, you can take the ray of the sun and shine it down on this leaf here and set it on fire. Now, without directing that ray of the sun, it's not going to do anything to this plant. But if I put that magnifying glass up there, it's going to take what's general and set it on fire. And I believe there's many of you, all you do is pray anytime, so much that you don't hardly pray none of the time. Huh? You see, there needs to be in your prayer life not just the, oh, God, help me right now prayer. Oh, yeah, he does hear that. But that's about all a lot of Christians do. Take the last 7 days, and your prayers are basically a shot here, a shot there, a prayer here, a prayer there. Nothing wrong with that, but you're not going to set anything on fire like that. You got, amen, praise God. You folks on the back row tonight, y'all are just doing it right. I tell you right now, it's anointed back there, praise God. The front row is quiet. The front two rows is quiet. All righty, but I know you're listening. I know you guys are listening up here. Amen. Give God a praise. That's a good thing. Amen. So it's helpful that you have an appointment for prayer. And, you know, it could be a daily appointment. In fact, I heard about the pastor was talking to one of the kids in church and says, so your mom says your prayer for you each night. Is that right, son? He said, yes. And he said, well, what does she pray? And he said, Pastor, she prays, thank God he's in bed. Look at Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. It says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, and he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did before time. I know when President Trump was in office, if you were with Pastor Nelson, at a certain time of the day, his phone would go off. And he'd say, stop, 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 right now. This is my time. We're going to pray for President Trump. And we'd all pray for President Trump. That's a great appointment for prayer. Now, it could be daily. It could be every day at 7 o'clock is my prayer time. Or every day at 3 o'clock is my prayer time. Do you have an appointment? It might not be every day. Maybe it's a few times a week. Maybe perhaps you pray. My particular life is I make sure that I have at least 4 prayer appointments with God. I mean, when I say prayer appointments, I talk about contact time. Now, you might not understand what contact time means, but when I was at East Carolina University and I was taking courses, you could have a course that would meet like 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock on Monday, or it would meet 3-hour credits, or it would meet Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from like 11 to 12, or it would meet Tuesday and Thursday like from 11 to 12:30. So you'd get, either way, you get 3 hours, and they would call that the contact time. Your contact time would either be 3 days a week, 2 days a week, or 1 day a week. In other words, you are in a classroom. You're sitting down with your books open. That is the contact time. I'm talking about contact prayer. I'm talking about where you have entered into your closet and you have shut the door. Not maybe literally, but spiritually and figuratively, you have an appointment with the Almighty Creator of the universe, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. I'm going to talk to my Father. He is already wanting you to come. Now, mine is four times a week. Four times a week, I try. Now, some weeks I get busy. Some weeks are full, and it may be less. Some weeks it may be more, but I do four times. Now, I can't. Does that mean I don't pray every day? Of course I pray every day. Ricky, I've already prayed many times today. But there are, aside from my general prayers, there are, in my life, my spiritual life, I try four times a week, 30 minutes. Somebody say 30 minutes. Now, it could be 15 minutes. Listen, if you did 7 days at 10 minutes, people say, well, we don't need to put a time on prayer. If you don't put a time on prayer, you'll never make time to pray. We're spiritual, but we got to be practical. Amen. They are not opposite. They are quite complementary to each other. We are very much about Holy Spirit leading, but we're going to have a plan before we walk in this door. We're going to have song number one, song number two, offering. We're going to have special message, altar call. We got an order of service, but when the Holy Ghost comes in, we just throw it right away and we just let the Lord have his way. Amen. But I promise you, God expects us to lay the sacrifice in order, bind the sacrifice. Look at the Old Testament principles. You go to Exodus chapter 23 through chapter 39, and it's this bowl goes here, and that gold does this, and this goes over here. And I mean, you read through the book of Exodus in some parts, and you're like, oh my goodness, I'm about to fall asleep here. But you get down to chapter 40, and when Moses set up the tent, whoo, the glory fell. So set contact appointments with God. Could be three times a week, four times a week, seven times a week, one time a week, maybe an hour. And that's another thing. I say 30 minutes. Now, when I was a lead pastor, let me say that. When I was a full-time pastor, in other words, my only source of work and income was the pastorate, and I was for 20 years a lead pastor. I had made a commitment, me and God made a commitment, that the first hour of the day I would spend in prayer. I don't mean that to be holy. I don't mean that to make y'all think I got a halo, because I don't. I just felt like that my most important thing that I could do as a pastor was not preach a pretty sermon, not even go to the hospital and visit, even though that's very important. The most important thing I could do was to meet one, and I had the time to do it. You know, when you're given the time to do it, you're expected to do more. Amen. You know, some of you that are retired and you don't have to clock in at 8 o'clock and clock out at 7 o'clock and rush in the hour of traffic and rush back in traffic, feed four kids and then take care of the grass and the lawn. Some of you that are retired, you got more time. Bless the Lord. You ought to have some more time with the Lord. Ooh. See, I gotta be a preacher and get on those young people, but I gotta get on retired people too. Amen. I gotta get on me. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord! But when I was a pastor, I prayed the first. So like if my work week was Tuesday through Friday, my office time was, and I had office hours. I had office, because if I didn't have office hours, I'd lay around the house all day and watch TV. I'm just going to be honest with you. I had to make myself. Now, some pastors, they don't have to have office hours. They're self-motivated, and they go, and you don't even know it. I was young. Young people struggle with discipline. They struggle with habits. So I made sure at 8 o'clock or 8:30, 9 o'clock, whatever it was, I was, when I pastored here at Living, I'm pointing back there because I was here 8 years. But 9 o'clock in the morning, I was in that office. And the door was shut. I didn't leave it open because I didn't want somebody walking in and messing my prayer time. I shut the door. Now, if somebody had a need, absolutely, I'd be there. But 9 o'clock, from 9 to 10, I didn't watch TV. I didn't read the Bible. I didn't do anything. I spent that hour in prayer, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, because I felt like if I spent that time in prayer, I couldn't help but hear from the Lord. I couldn't help but see revival. I couldn't help but preach the right sermon on Sunday. Folks, have an appointment with God. He wants to meet with you. And don't just send up a prayer every now and then. Have a concrete time. Look back. Write it down in your journal. When the devil begins to condemn me, you know what I do? I'll just pull up my app and I'll say, look at those times that I spent with my Father in prayer. And I may not feel it right now, but I know he heard those prayers I prayed back in 2016, back in 2014, back in 2007, back in 1996 in this office. Somebody ought to give the Lord a hand of praise tonight. I know it's not 8 o'clock yet, is it? So what's the best time to pray? Anytime. What's the best time to pray? Appointed times. And in your appointed times, listen very carefully. I know we got some moving around. In your appointed times of prayer, that's where you have aids to your prayer time. What do you mean? During my appointed time, I'll have the church prayer list on my desk. Why is that? Because in my 30 minutes or hour or 15 minutes, and my mind begins to drift or I begin to fall asleep or something, that's a good topic for us, one of these prayer sermons, is the distractions that come in prayer. But have some prayer aids. For example, I have the church prayer list. I have the link that prays for, if you pray the link. Did you know that, I believe we have them out there, but you could have this little book called The Link, and on day 13, you can pray for a certain missionary, IPHC missionary. Day 14, pray for another one. And all 30 days, you've covered the entire Pentecost Holiness Church's missions and missionaries. And so have that in your appointed time. Have scripture books. I've got a book that has nothing but the promises of God, and when my prayer begins to sputter out, I'll just open up and boom, there's a great scripture, and I'll just begin to praise God for it. Pray with apps and pray, have your prayer journal. Pray through the Psalms. Have a daily devotion. Now, I know that you may think that reading and praying is kind of not the same thing, but if in your 30 minutes you would read just a paragraph or two out of my favorite is the Streams in the Desert. Streams in the Desert. These were by authors from the 1800s, and they just are powerful. Jesus Calling is them two are my favorite two daily devotions. Anybody ever heard Jesus Calling? Just read one of those. It's only two paragraphs, but it helps me in my prayer time. So pray, have appointed times to pray. Can I get a witness out here? It could be once a day. It could be a few times a week. Or it could be five times a month. Maybe take 30 days and say, out of 30 days, I'm going to have five times I'm going to meet with the Lord. Don't make it hard on yourself. Let me tell you about the appointed time to pray. Let me tell you two things about your appointed time to pray. Three things. Number one, set a time to pray. Do your prayers will just be all over the map, which is fine. Again, it's better not praying. Set a time to pray. And number two, keep that time. Everything possible, 3 o'clock, I'm going to be there. You'll be surprised how the devil will try to get you too busy. Things will come up. But go ahead and keep that appointment. Because what is an appointment? It means I'm going to meet with God. And then, number three, if you make an appointment to pray and you miss it, don't be condemned. God's not going to bang you over the head because you missed that appointment. He loves you. He's not going to want us to walk in condemnation. If you were going to pray Thursday at 3 o'clock and you just did not make that appointment to pray, then just pray later that night or make it up the next day, because it's just more really a way to kind of focus your prayers than it is to be something to be, that you do not want to be condemned over it. Can you say amen tonight? So when's the best time to pray? Anytime. Appointed times, and lastly, extended times. Now, what do you mean by extended times? So, this is more than just praying one little prayer at 5 o'clock in the morning, a prayer 3 o'clock in the afternoon while I'm on Ward Boulevard. This is more than my daily appointment with God, 30 minutes, 1 hour, 10 minutes or something. There ought to be times in your Christian life where you have extended times of prayer. For example, maybe take an entire day and spend in prayer. What? Yeah, absolutely. You ought to do that. It'll change your life. Look at Luke chapter 6 and verse 12, and I'll get ready to come to a close. And it came to pass in those days that he went out to a mountain to pray, and did what, church? He continued all night in prayer to God. There may be times when you pray all night long. I've done that. I remember I went to Falcon when I got some trouble, hit some troubled spots, and I got the Octagon Tabernacle. They don't lock it, at least they didn't used to. The little Octagon Tabernacle, it's a holy place where the great saints met. And I got there about 11 o'clock, and I prayed to about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and I went on back to bed. But maybe you ought to pray. I prayed all night about 3 or 4 years ago when I was living at our old house. Darnell went to bed, and I just prayed all night long. Now, let me tell you what you do in those extended times of prayer. So when I pray my 30 minutes, I'll pray like 5 minutes, I'll give God praise. 5 minutes, I'll give God thanks. 5 minutes, I'll ask for personal petitions. 5 minutes, I'll pray for missionaries. 5 minutes, I'll pray for my loved ones. 5 minutes, I'll pray for the church. The last 5 minutes, I've gone over 30. I know I have. Some of you are doing the math. I know what you're doing. Some of you are doing. The point is, I segment my prayers to keep myself focused. But on an entire day, and what I've done is like the first hour, I would just spend in praise. And maybe I take a 30-minute break and read scriptures. And then maybe the next hour I would spend in thanksgiving for spiritual things. Thank you for heaven. Thank you for the gifts. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for peace. Then I might read A.W. Tozer devotional or something, a spiritual classic. Then the next hour I might just be thanking him for material blessings. Did you know you could take a whole hour and thank him for the house, electricity, living in America, just praising him, worshiping him. Then I might take a full hour and pray for my loved ones. Let me tell you, I got some sinner loved ones. Brother, I could fill up many hours praying them folks into the kingdom. Come on now, amen. And then I might take another hour and just pray for the church, pray for the pastor. And just call their name out. And before you know it, I've spent from 9 to 5 at Best Buy, I've spent from 9 to 5 in prayer, and I've spent a day in prayer. That's called an extended time. And when you have an extended time of prayer, you need to get unplugged, right? You need to only answer the phone if it's an emergency, if it's family, crisis. You need to let somebody know, hey, I'm going to be unplugged for a little while. You don't need to be scrolling social media and making Twitters and all of that. There are times we need to get away and get before the King. Call upon me, and I will answer thee. And folks, this isn't rocket science. This isn't something for some great holy person. Every last one of us can spend time with the King. What's the best time to pray? Pray anytime, yes. Pray at appointed times, please. And even now and then, spend all night in prayer. Spend all night. Listen, if your child is about to be struggling with drugs or with a, hey, if I had a child and some relationship came in that I knew was bad for them, yes, sir, I'd spend all night praying that dude out or that dudette, whoever it was. If I had a boy or a girl, I'd pray all night. Hallelujah. It's worth it, folks. Listen, my daddy was sick one time, and the fever could not break. I want to say, Pastor Ricky, come and play the piano so bad, but I can't. Pastor, come on up and get beside, please, if you would, so I can run this. But listen, I remember that my daddy's fever couldn't break, and he was in the hospital for almost a week, and they could not break that fever. I knew what I had. I knew what would do it. I said, Mama, I'm going to spend the night with him. And I tell you, I sat back in the chair, and I didn't get on my knees. I didn't pray in tongues loud. I just quietly stayed in a spirit of prayer pretty much through the whole night. Now, I would doze off, but you can't sleep a lot at the hospital. You know that. And so I would wake up, and I would pray some more. And praise God, that extended time of prayer, about 4 o'clock in the morning, the nurse came in and said, Mr. Nelms, glory, your fever has broke. My God wants to meet us in prayer. Let's get excited about standing before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Don't just say a prayer once in a while. Have an appointed time. Have some extended times. And let's shake heaven and earth. It is time for the church in COVID-19. Extended times of prayer for revival. And hey, we have a Friday night prayer meeting. That's extended times, 20 years that we're praying and believing God to do what only He can do. And brother, when He shows up, it's like heaven on earth. Give Him a hand of praise here tonight.
Hallelujah. Amen. I want to ask, has anyone received from our conference something on prayer that's happening, a prayer event that's happening this Saturday? February the 27th, Saturday, from 9 a.m. till 12:30 p.m. We're going. How many have gotten that email from the conference? Myself, Brother Philip, did you get one? And Pastor Ricky. Well, I will send you one. Teresa and I, we're going to be participating in this, and we will be praying. My assignment, what do you think my assignment would be? Guess, anybody guess? Healing. That's my assignment right there. And what I will do is my assignment is to give scriptures for 5 minutes and then to pray for 15 minutes. And so I told Teresa, I said, I want you to help me read those scriptures, and I'll pray, and then I want them to hear another voice pray. And then I'll come back. I told her I'll carry it, but I want what we're doing. Where should prayer begin? At home. That's right. So what we're doing is bringing in couples, when possible, for the couples to pray together. Teresa and I, we spend a lot of time in our sunroom. And she reads her Bible. I read my Bible. And sometimes we'll stop and pray for something. But I consider my Bible reading a part of my prayer. It's part of my prayer time. I'm already into April. And I'm reading a book. And Sister Tammy, you have it. You know what the Bible is all about. And before I read a book, Henrietta Mears, before I even read one of the books, I read what that says about the Bible. And I'm taking big chunks. And I'm reading, Teresa and I both are reading a new translation this year, the Good News Translation. I love it. It's got such a flow to it. And I was in Deuteronomy 28 and read through Deuteronomy 24 today. I was last night, I lay in my bed till 12:30 reading the Old Testament. And I like to take big chunks and read it. And that prayer guide that you got, as you read your Bible, talk to the Lord. Pray. And He will give you thoughts, and you just write them down. There are times you don't pray. But I have an attitude of prayer at all times.
Yes.
Like he said, if the place is on fire, I'm going to be praying the whole time. I'm doing some, but I won't be at this altar praying. You know, there are places. And I'll tell you something else. It's not the time to read your Bible when the preacher's preaching. Can I get a real good
amen?
I said, it's not the time to read your Bible and be real spiritual when the preacher's preaching. That man, I know this man right here, and I believe I can speak for Pastor Ricky. I put hours and hours and hours into that sermon. My wife can tell you that sometimes from Friday to Sunday morning when I get up here, she's heard it. I've told her about it, and we talked about it, and we digested it. And I realize my insufficiencies. I really understand that I'm insufficient in myself, and I need that anointing. And that's why I want to encourage you, if you sing, pray. Say, God, anoint me. If you teach Sunday school,
yes,
pray. God, anoint me. If you're going to work, like Pastor Ricky said, pray. Say, Lord, let me help. I've stood in meetings that were high-powered meetings, and people cursing, and I would pray. And I had a little scripture that I kept in front of me. It said, a man that ruleth his spirit is stronger than a man that taketh a city. And I would sit there and ask God to help me rule my spirit when I felt like doing other things because of the hostility and the venom that was being spewed out in those high-powered meetings there. And so a man that can rule his spirit, bridle his tongue, well, I have to work on that one. But I'm getting better, I think. That time I think I'm getting better. Oops. I say, God, sprinkle me again with the blood. Hallelujah. But the thing is, we need to, I'm thankful for our doctrine, but I'm not married to doctrine. God's always showing me different things. Now, the basic 14 doctrines, they're there. I haven't changed my mind about any of those, but God shows me other things. I'm not married to the International Pentecostal Holiness Church. I'm not married to this church. I'm the pastor, but I can promise you one thing. I'm not married to this church. Brother Milton, if you got something to say, come on down here, brother. I'll recognize you. But there's a time for all things, too. Okay? So, get married to Jesus. And if you will spend your time in prayer, the Holy Spirit will show you more and more about Him. And I want to do a good job as a pastor. I want to do a good job with this church. But I'll tell you the thing that drives me more than anything. I want to know Him. And I want to make heaven my eternal home. I want to help you if the Lord will give me the anointing to do that. I want to see great signs and wonders. But more than anything, and I hope you catch this, each and every one of us should, I want to make sure that my eternal destiny is heaven. And I don't want anything to hinder me. And I don't want anything to hinder you. That's why we're studying prayer.
Yes.
That's why we're going into the many aspects of it. But I'll send you, if you would like to be a part of that, text me. And I've got some email addresses. I will send this email to some people. And so if you would like to be a part of that prayer event this Saturday from 9 o'clock in the morning, be various people with different topics. But it's going to be a Zoom meeting. I'll be glad when things get back to normal. Some people think things will never be normal again. Let me tell you something. They're going to be better than they've ever been. Because anything, any disease, anything that's ever come, there's a cure for it.
Come on.
And it mutates, and that means it gets weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker.
Come on.
It just gets so weak that it disappears. And so, Father, we love You and praise You, and we thank You, Lord, that we're moving into a new season. We thank You, God, that the blood of Jesus Christ declares our victory. We thank You for the name of Jesus, Lord. There's power in that name. And we thank You, Lord, that when we call upon You, You answer us, Lord. Sometimes, Lord, we just have to keep coming back and coming back and coming back. But we know that our victory is on the way because You said, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And our faith is in the blood and in the name of Jesus. Tell three people on your way out, you are blessed and highly favored of God. You are blessed, 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 and highly favored of God.